Hello. I said when my mom died, I cut my hair. I did dread. So I was in the dream. I was told in the dream that at the end of God, I'm not supposed to do dread. No. Dread love. Dread love. All this that I had, I did when my mom died. That in dread, dread love. So when I was in the dream, I was told that as a child of God, I'm not supposed to do dread. So when I wake up in the morning, I lose it. I not do it again. Then after some months, a man of God told him that I should stop putting makeup that is meant for prostitute. As a child of God, not supposed to paint yourself. So I had what he said, so I stopped it. Again, I was in my church. They told me in my church through a prophetess that I should stop and I should separate myself from the world. So I went from the world. That God said I should separate myself from the world. So when I went to, I was thinking, what am I doing that the world is doing? So a voice told me that I'm wearing trousers, that I should stop wearing trousers. So I burnt them all. I stopped wearing trousers. When I came to Lagos, in my church, they don't put earring, they don't plate attachments, anything official. So I don't believe that wearing earring and putting attachments is a sin. I see I was putting them. But the day it came, I stopped it. So what I want to say now is that, Bible said in John chapter 1 verse 12, he said, as many that have received him, to them he gave the power to become son of God. So what I'm trying to ask, I get angry easily. When I'm angry, I can say anything, I can do anything. But I'll stop all these things. Why am I still having that sort of anger in me?
Sorry, which church do you attend in Lagos?
Tower Majesty. Lost Tower Majesty.
Lost Tower Majesty?
Yes.
Okay. They don't put on these things. Yes. It's a holiness church. In Lagos here.
Sir?
In Lagos here.
Yes.
Oh, so we are many.
But I used to be angry.
We are many. So what?
I used to get angry.
So your problem is concerning worldliness. You have put it aside.
Yes.
Now remain anger.
Yes. And it's coming badly.
The same power that made you to leave the world will soon take away anger. Amen. So continue to pray. Say, Lord,
I continue
praying. Don't stop until the things. If you're already angry, praise the Lord. It's a spirit. God will take it away. Because you don't like it. It has no agreement with you. One of these days, your mind will just cool. And your time, God is going to... Are you married? The kind of husband God will give you will be a man that when your fire starts, he will know how to quench it. Praise God. I know of a brother that used to be here. He was a minister some years back. His problem was anger. When he starts, his eyes will grow red. You will see veins will come out. Full of anger. That was his problem. Then he got a sister in the church that he wanted to marry. We were afraid for the sister initially. You know him? Thank you. But do you know that he loved that girl so much? It's too much. Until when that in madness was start, when the girl told Lucam, honey, everything was just cool. Very soon, God will give you a husband. Then when you start, he will turn and look at you. Honey, it will be God. Praise God. Any other question?
Yes. I used to sow seed.
Yes.
I used to see that of ask of God. But here, I find it difficult to receive.
To receive?
Yeah, as in family.
Maybe because... When your expectation delay, You'll be getting angry with God. So when you get angry with God, you can't delay and say, you want to fight me? Oh yeah, fight me now. Once you sow a seed, wait patiently. Amen. There is no seed that is sown that you will not reap. For it is written, what you sow, you will reap. Okay, God bless you. I have very few minutes more. I hope I can take all of you standing. Yes? From Bayelsa State, Nadesh, Sister Nadesh, from Bayelsa State, Nigeria. Shalom, church. My question comes from what one sister said about loving your enemies. My both parents were killed because they did not want to sell their land. So I ask now, should I really love this person who poisoned my parents when I was just 2 weeks old? Yes, according to the Bible, you will still love him. Remember, you cannot fight them. If not, they will kill you too. So, commit the battle to the Lord and fight in the Lord's way. When your enemy be hungry, give him food. When he's thirsty, give him drink. He said, by so doing, you will heap coals of fire upon that person. Leave God to fight the battle for you. Learn to commit your battles to the Lord and live your life. God bless you.
Alright. Please, the born Christians, may you know the love when the male Christians are asking questions. Pastor Moses is not only for the bones, but also for the male Christians, so that we'll grow to statue in bones. Hallelujah. Daddy, somebody asked a question. Please go back to it. Colossians 2:16. Apostle Paul, who is the Gentile teacher. Sorry, I'm a male Christian, so I will still ask those questions. He said, let no one judge you in meat nor in drink. Then in another of his epistles to the Gentile church still, he said, he mentioned drunkards as one of those defaulters that will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now my question one is, who is a drunkard? Who is a drunkard that is emphasizing? He repeatedly emphasized on drunkards. Then going back to Colossians, he said, let no one judge you in meat or in drink. No drink in question. So who is that drunkard? That's one. Let me go to the so that you answer it straight. Then number two. That was why I said the born Christian should not laugh.
Just a moment. I have to understand your question very well.
All right.
Apostle Paul was telling the Jews.
No,
it was the Jews. Okay, he was telling the Gentiles. When those Jews, they were trying to infiltrate into the liberty we have through grace. Trying to bring some laws, those ordinances from the law to grace. And he said, let no man judge you in what you eat, in what you drink. Because in the law, there are certain things you should not eat, and there are certain things you should not drink. Now, we have the liberty. Let nobody judge us anymore in what we eat, in what we drink, according to the law. So what's your question?
My question is, in another of his epistles, he repeatedly emphasized on drunkards will not inherit the kingdom of God.
Yes.
Who is a drunkard? Hey, born Christians, may
I know? Now, the word drunkard, that is in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. Who is a drunkard? That's your question.
Yes, sir.
A drunkard is one that takes alcohol. How do you call it? There's an English word I'm looking for.
Is it gluten?
Well, you drink to stupor. One that is addicted to alcohol is an alcoholic or a drunkard. That is who he is. One that is given to drinking alcohol until you are known by it. You are a drunkard. Yes.
Not that he prohibits a Christian drinking alcohol.
But you see, let's look at something, church. We must understand scriptures. In the Old Testament, the priest was forbidden from drinking alcohol. And when you are a Christian, the Bible tells us you are of a royal priesthood. The law that pertains to the priests also affects us. You know why? This time, it's not even because there is a law. Listen, church. We as Christians don't live by any law. Listen. We as believers, that is the reason why God gives us the Holy Ghost. When you receive the Holy Ghost, He writes it in their hearts. Can we open Jeremiah 33? Jeremiah 33. Hallelujah. Sorry, 31. Jeremiah 31. Jeremiah 31, 31. Sorry. Jeremiah 31, 31. This is how he put it. Amen. Are we there? 31, 31. Behold, the days come, said the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was an husband unto them, said the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, said the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For they shall all know me from the least of them unto the greatest of them, said the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity and I will remember their sin no more. Go to Hebrews chapter 8. Apostle Paul made reference to it again there. Verse 7. He said, for Hebrews chapter 8, verse 7. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. For finding fault with them, he said, he's quoting Jeremiah 31, verse 31. Behold, the days come, said the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because he quoted back all that scripture. Verse 12. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins, and their iniquities will I remember no more. Now verse 13. In that he set a new covenant, he has made the first covenant old. Now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away. No wonder they were stoning him, Paul. Listen. Under this new covenant, a believer does not have a set of laws. Don't do this. Don't do this. Don't do this. Don't do this. It's the baby Christians that we are saying, don't wear trousers. Don't paint your body. Look, if you have received the Holy Ghost, a lot of this worldliness die out of you automatically. I was drinking alcohol after I received the Holy Ghost. I don't even remember alcohol. The taste of alcohol irritated me. If I didn't hear from William Branham the significance of taking communion with alcohol, I will never ever have tasted alcohol till I die. Not because somebody told me don't drink, but automatically the taste died. Automatically I knew that if a woman is not my wife, I should not sleep with her. Not somebody telling me, fornicator, you go to hell, or you go to hell. I didn't stop it because I didn't want to go to hell. I stopped it by a power that worketh in me. That is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So all this teaching, this one, teach this, 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 and this. It is because people have refused to let the Holy Ghost lead them. They now walk by the flesh. So God ordained preachers to bring them back to the Spirit, to obey the Spirit that you have received in you. God bless you.
Thank you, sir. Hello. Sir, please. That was why I was trying to rush it earlier. In Revelation chapter 10, I'm going to the last verse, verse 11, where Christ was saying to John the Revelator, and he said unto me, thou must prophesy again before many peoples, nations and tongues and kings. Going back to Malachi chapter 4, verse 5, where God said, I will send you Elijah. He fulfilled in the ministry of Brother Branham. And there he said to John the Revelator, chew and swallow. He chewed and he swallowed. And I believe that is still in the belly of John. And he said, you shall prophesy again. Going back to verse 7, which is the emphasis of our belief, Revelation 10:7, that Brother Abraham has fulfilled. And we said the ministry of God is coming to a finish because that has been fulfilled. Has John fulfilled this verse of the Bible, verse 11?
Listen, church. Amen. That's why he started by saying, let's chew some bone. Because you are going to the deeper part of the things that pertain to salvation. Revelation chapter 10 from verse 1 to verse 6. He's speaking about the mighty angel that stands up, puts one leg on the sea, one leg on the land. I'm paraphrasing, I'm making reference, I'm making reference to Revelation chapter 10 from verse 1. And how that salvation, it declared that there should be time no longer, raising a book in his hand. And that mighty angel is the Lord Jesus himself. And that mighty angel is what Apostle Paul in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 verse 16 referred to after the shout, the voice of the archangel. What is that voice of the archangel? Is the archangel in Revelation chapter 10 that raises his hand and says, time no more, and then he screamed as a lion roared. And when he did that, seven thunders uttered their voices, and Apostle John was about to write what the thunder sounded, and he was commanded not to write them. Then in verse 7, he added, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished. Not mysteries, but mystery. One mystery. Not mysteries. One mystery of God should be finished. Which mystery? It is the mystery Apostle Paul referred to in Ephesians chapter 3. What is the mystery? The mystery of the salvation of Gentiles. How the Gentiles came into the commonwealth of Israel and even occupy a higher position than Israel. In the days of the voice of the seventh angel, that mystery will be rounded up. Then he came to verse 8 and continued to say something else. John was told to go and collect the book from him. And he collected the book and he was told to eat it. And he was told what will happen after he has eaten it. That it will be sweet in his mouth and be bitter in his belly. And John ate it. And it was sweet in his mouth and it was bitter in his belly. Your question is, has John? Okay. Then in verse 11. After he ate it, the angel told him, for thou must prophesy again to peoples, to nations, to
tongues and kings.
Tongues and kings. Thou must prophesy
again.
It means he prophesied before. Correct?
Yes, sir.
When Bible says, I will send Elijah the prophet. And in Matthew chapter 11, Jesus Christ told the disciples that if you will receive it, John the Baptist is the Elijah that is to come. Make a reference to Malachi chapter 4. And then, still, in Matthew chapter 17, in the transfiguration, praise the Lord, after he appeared with Moses and Elijah, Peter asked him, why don't we first build 3 tabernacles here? And things like that. And from what Jesus Christ spoke, they said, then they understood that, he answered them. He said, Elijah shall surely come to restore all things. But I tell you, Elijah has come already. Do you understand? Elijah shall come and restore all things. But I tell you, say, Elijah has come already.
In the person of John the Baptist.
And he was referring to John the Baptist. He said, Elijah shall come. Future. Correct?
Yes, sir.
But Elijah has come already. So he's talking of 2 Elijahs. Am I correct?
Yes.
No. So if John has eaten the book and he's told, thou must prophesy again. And he's the one that gave us the prophecy of the book of Revelation. And he's told he will prophesy again. Do we believe in reincarnation?
No.
Will he literally come?
No.
It simply means before the rapture, there's going to be a John ministry.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. But that John ministry will not be a man. John ministry will not be a man. It will be a move of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Because just before the rapture will strike, because I know where you are going, there is a man that is claiming that he is the John. Oh, he's a bloody antichrist. Serious antichrist. We know the Bible better. We know the Bible better. Praise the Lord. I know where you are going. Amen. John will surely come again. But let me tell you when John will prophesy. Remember, catch this thing. That's why it's good to study. Amen. In John chapter 10, amen. Before John was told to eat the book. Can you listen to me, brother? Before John was asked to eat the book and prophesy, the 7 thunders have sounded. Correct? Eh?
Yes, sir.
Correct?
Yes, sir, correct.
So before John ministry can start, the 7 thunders must first be sounded. Am I correct?
Yes, you are right.
Now a man is saying he is John. Has the 7 thunders sounded?
No.
He's a liar. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So the 7 thunder has not yet sounded. After the 7 thunder has sounded, because from what the 7 thunders will sound, what they will sound, they will sound it only to the bride. That is why the angel did not allow him to write it, so that Satan will not mess it up. It has to do with the last thing we need to know before going to the rapture. And only those who had the shout, the entire message, and came out of the denomination, will position themselves for the next move, the voice of the archangel, which produces the 7th angel. And that comes up in the 7th seal in Revelation chapter 8, verse 1.
So you have to understand something, brother. The thunder has not yet sounded. Once the thunder sounds, remember, the thunder will only sound when salvation is over. He is sitting down, the mercy seat now. Revelation chapter 10 verse 1, he stands up from the mercy seat. The action of standing up was where the seventh seal was opened. And the Bible said there was silence in heaven because a monumental thing was about to take place. He stands up. There is no more salvation because he's now moving to Israel. He is now rounding up his bride among the Gentiles. He causes them to hear something that produces a revival that will shake the nations. The people, the kings, they will hear it. It will be a prophetic ministry. Things that will shake everywhere. That last move is what verse 11 of Revelation chapter 10 was saying, John, thou must surely prophesy again. God bless you. I'm grateful. Thank you. Yes?
Praise the Lord, church.
God bless you.
Good morning, sir. I appreciate the wisdom of God upon your life.
Thank you, ma'am.
So my question is, from the Bible, Psalm 97 verse 3 says, a fire goeth before him and burneth up his enemies round about. A fire goeth before him and burneth his enemies round about. My question is this fire that goes round about the throne that burns God's enemies, is it the Holy Ghost fire?
Who is the Holy Ghost? Holy Ghost is God. Fire from God is Holy Ghost fire.
Okay.
Thank you.
Alright. Why I'm asking this is because I started with the scripture union. Those days they used to teach us, they taught us to pray with the word of God. And when we pray, something happened. So recently these times, I entered a church that makes use of Holy Ghost fire, Holy Ghost fire. And I am worshiping with them. I hardly pray with making use of the word of God. You know, all the enemies burn by fire. But none of my enemies have been using this fire has burned up to this day. I'm coming here last month. I participated in the program of Holy Ghost baptism. And before my eyes, I saw the true manifestation of it.
Glory.
Yes. Yes. I now think, are we not sending the Holy Ghost a wrong errand in burning people other than doing his normal work of putting the church in revival and are glowing in the spirit? Yes.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Now I can only defend what I do. I cannot defend what other people do. Yes. But when it comes to the things of the spirit, you cannot just technically like that, make a statement and hack it down. It must be like this. Yes. Now, you cannot do that. So we are very careful concerning the move of the spirit. We also know that we must learn to balance these things up. That church, we are talking about congregational prayers.
Yes.
And every time you come together to pray. Let me quickly say this before I say that. Church, listen. In your sojourn, in your Christian faith, your movement, from church to another church, to another church, to another church. Listen. No church is 100% wrong. Listen, in every church God saw you through, there was something to learn there. Amen. That you add to your Christian faith. Okay? Now, so, whether it is Aladura, at least in Aladura,
a mountain of fire. They teach you how to fast well.
Yes.
Do you understand? If you move to Catholic, Catholic teaches you reverence before the things of God. You learn that there. When you go to churches like Assemblies of God, they teach you holiness. You go through deeper life, they teach you holiness and fear of God. In deeper life, they make you fear going to hell. Now, all these, you add them to your faith. When you go to a mountain of fire, they teach you spiritual battle. They are all scriptural. Now, in scripture union, you were taught to pray with the word. So, it was something you learned. You did not go to this church and they told you to stop that. You are only to add whatever fire to the word that you have learned. And you will soon see that your prayer life will be sweeter.
Okay, thank you.
That's how you treat, you know, these things. Now when you come together, it's fire. But in your closet, your personal prayers now, you will be fire. The scripture union, what they taught you, and you always receive a reward. You now start praying the word.
You know, they used to give 1,000 prayer points, you know.
Yes. All fire.
All fire.
Yes. Did they say you must pray all of them?
Of course.
You will select the one that is relevant and then go into praying the word.
All right.
The most powerful prayer is what scripture union taught you. Praying God's word. That's the most powerful prayer.
Thank you, sir.
God bless you.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I have a question. It's a question really on the net. It's just all about anointing. That the men of God, they must lay hands on someone that needs delivering before we fall under the anointing. So the man that raised...
They wrote it like that.
Yeah.
So which scripture did they cite?
He wrote some question, the scriptures, and said it is not. He said it is not biblical.
To do what?
To lay hands so that the Holy Ghost will make you fall and do all those things. But the only thing is said about Matthew is that Jesus lay hands on the sick ones and healed them. So he didn't support. Maybe pastors will lay hands on those people that need delivery before they fall down.
Let's see something in John chapter 20. John chapter 20 and verse 21. Then said Jesus to them again, "Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even sent, so sent are you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." Correct?
Yes, sir.
He said, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." He breathed.
Yes, that is it. But the thing is that he said, it don't support pastors laying hands to be pressing.
No, but in Acts chapter 8, that's why I said, I don't know which scripture you were saying. There are three ways I have taught here where you receive the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
And it's all in the Bible. Number one, I said, while Peter yet spake, Acts chapter 10, the Holy Ghost came on Cornelius and his household. And then in Acts chapter 8, when they went to Samaria, Philip went to Samaria. And can we read it? Our time don't go. We want prayer. All of them, where they stand. Can we continue next? Next, please, we want to pray. Praise God. Hallelujah. Verse 14. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet it was falling upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost.
Thank you, sir.
Praise God. It's also in Acts chapter 19 and other places. God bless you. Yes, sister.
Voices, actually.
Okay.
This is my third or fourth time I'm coming to this vigil. I used to attend the church very close to this place.
Very, very close.
And
is it the church that is very, very close?
Very close.
Very, very close.
And the first day I came here, when I was outside, I had a chat with somebody who attends this church. She also told me, she said, when I came here, I love the church. I said, okay. The way she, you know, she was talking about the church. So I said, okay, I will come. And when I actually came, what I saw here, because this closed church I've been going to, there was a night I took my daughter there, and my daughter was angry and said, Mommy, why should you take me to such a church? How can the pastor be sleeping in his bedroom and come out around 5 and come to round up? I said, well, since the time I've been coming here, I've not felt the Spirit of God. He's always fighting, the security beating up people. And I felt so bad. But when I came here, actually, I have been a musician for 13 years. I've been singing with Francesco Boye. I used to sing with her. That's the last cousin. I've been faced with a lot of battle. You know, when I came here, I looked down there. I saw the way they were praising God. Remind me of good days, bad days. I called it a bad day because whatever you do without Jesus Christ,
of a lash right.
It's because if I had died as a musician then, it would have been a loss. And I thought it was all. And when the pastor came out, I said, wow, this is wonderful. Praise the Lord. And I said to myself, let me come again. Let me come and see again. And when I came again, I went to eat akara and fried yam somewhere there. And you know, I was like trying to test the attitude of some of them. And they were polite.
Hey. All of the way they eat from Mami Market, clap your hands now for Jesus.
And I was like, this is a different thing entirely. But I really want to thank God that I'm here. The question I want to ask is this. Since I left playing music, I was about releasing an album when Christ met with me.
Amen.
But I discovered that when I came into the Christ fold, this wonderful gift, because I'm somebody, if I sing, I don't even need a mic for you to hear my voice. I happen to attend a church. I find out that any church I go, probably out of jealousy, when I sing, I begin to have problems. So I started dodging it. And said, why is it that when I come and I sing, the whole church will stand up, they'll be happy. But immediately I want to join and begin to join them. Attacks from here and there. In fact, the last one was that I had was in the Redeemed Church.
So what's your question?
So my question is,
why do they attack you?
Why is it that I use my gift for several years to praise the devil? In 5-star hotels. So why is it now that coming to the Christ home, I cannot use this gift? I keep asking myself. I don't only have the gift of song, I have the gift of evangelism. Because when I go out there to preach, I don't fear any man.
Okay, what your question is?
So, Pastor, why is it that I cannot use my gift for Christ?
I think your question is clear, my sister. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I want to answer you.
Praise the Lord. I was going to mention something. I had 3 fatal accidents. Very fatal. The last one, I was gone. You know? So I ran away. I said, I will not sing.
Listen, sister. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Listen very well. There is a parable in Matthew chapter 13. Let's read it. Matthew chapter 13. Verse 44. Are we there? Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which when a man has found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he had and buy it that field. You know why I remember this parable? There are things Apostle Paul fulfills this also. This was Martin Luther. But I want to break it down to the individual also. One thing that every human being is looking for is the salvation of the soul. One thing that is lacking among all human beings on earth is lack of Christ that has, you know, reduced us to crisis. Whatever you wear in the world, when you have found Christ, whatever you had you wear before, you pack them and throw them away and just follow him. But when you want to come to Christ and begin to remember your past, some great thing you were before, and you want to jam it with Christ, Christ himself will frustrate you. What you have to do is, you were supposed to drop the music first and seek the knowledge of him. But when you brought your worldly achievements and try to join it with this newfound love you have, it will not work. Oh, praise God. Apostle Paul said he count all his achievements what? As dung. Threw them away for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. When we come to Christ, forget about what you were before and get into a relationship with Him. Then He will fit you where you belong by Himself. And where you are, where God wants you to be, there will be no crisis. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
That is why you never found peace anywhere. Then, the day you find it, where God is, you will find rest. Nobody knows you to be a musician in this church. But when you came here, you suddenly found peace. Correct? Now, not only peace, God finally brought you now to where you can use your gift freely now. Freely now. Because here, in this church, amen.
Amen.
We encourage gifts. We encourage gifts. Here, you can sing. Whether you are in the choir or not, you can sing. Or whether you know how to sing or not, we will allow you to sing. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
God bless you. I believe you have come to the final bus stop.
Amen.
You couldn't have fitted in the church that is very, very, very close to us. Because they don't believe in instruments. But let me tell you where the hypocrisy is. We saw them the next day after we went for our rally. They mounted speakers on an open vehicle. And they are playing music, cassette, for CD with speaker. Music that was once with all manner of instruments. They were playing it. Then I knew that these people are hypocrites. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
So you know you don't fit in there. Here, nobody cages us. If you come here, are you an Igbo woman? Are you Igbo?
I'm from Delta.
Delta. Here, you will see Abriba dance. All manner of dance steps. Now here we see them. Can we stand up now? Let's dance some dance steps. See you next time.